welcome to the Shiur Ibn Ezra Parshas Emor. What I want to speak about tonight is particularly the Ibn Ezra's comments, a few disparate comments of the Ibn Ezra with regard to the Yom Tov of Sukkot. I mean, we're going into Pesach Sheni, so I don't know if anyone's really thinking about Sukkot necessarily, but okay, Zrizim Maktimin or Shenan Zrizim Machrin, as the case may be, depending on whether we're looking at the Sukkot ahead or the Sukkot behind. But anyway, the Parshas HaShavuah certainly talks about Sukkot. So, to start off with one comment, so the Pasuk in Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Vav says, Shivas Yomim Takribu Yishel Hashem, for 7 days and during Sukkot you should bring a carbon to Hashem. Vayom HaShmini Mikra Kodesh Yelochem, on the 8th day, which is Shmini Aseres, it should be a holy convocation to you. V'kravtem Yishel Hashem, you should bring a carbon to Hashem. Haseres hi, kol melechas avodah lo sa'asu. Right, the 8th day of Sukkot is an Aseres, that's why we call it Shmini Aseres, and you should not do any work. What exactly is the meaning of the word Aseres? Right, so that's discussed by many of the Rishonim, and the Ibn Ezra puts in his piece as well. So writes the Ibn Ezra, Yesh Omrin Shetamo Kihila. Some say that the interpretation of Aseres means a congregation, a gathering. Right? The 8th day is a day of gathering. Shetam Aseres Bogdim. Of course, the Haftarah, which we read on Tisha B'Av from Sefer Yirmiyahu, that the entire Jewish people have become an Aseres Bogdim, an assemblage of traitors, a treacherous assemblage. Right? And the reason that these Yom Tovim are referred to as Aseres is because they're Shlosh Regalim, they're pilgrimage festivals, and Chal Yisrael are coming together. Says Ibn Ezra, I don't understand that though. That Lachari doesn't make any sense, because the 7th day of Pesach is referred to as an Aseres, and yet we find that the Torah says later on in Parshas Re'eh that after what has come to Yerushalayim for Erev Pesach, brought the Korban Pesach, stayed overnight, you know, eaten the Korban Pesach that night in Yerushalayim, stayed the following day, the 1st day of Pesach, then you can go home. You can choose to stay in Yerushalayim for the duration of Pesach. But if you want to, you know, you have Bichol Avoy plans, you know, Zorny Park, I don't know, something like that. So you can go home after the 1st day of Pesach is finished. So if that's the case, so then to describe the 7th day of Pesach as an Aseres, as a gathering, when by the 7th day of Pesach there's no obligation for anyone to still be in Yerushalayim, so that doesn't make any sense. Bakarov Shehu Kimo Ne'etzar Lifnei Hashem. It appears to me, says the Ibn Ezra, that the word Aseres is related to the word to be Atsur, to be, so to speak, locked up or secluded. You know, not gathering together with everyone else, but in a sense, separated out, confined in a certain sense. Shiyehe Batel Mikol Iske Ha'olam. On a day which is described as Aseres, we are confined and don't have any interaction with the rest of the world. In other words, an Aseres is the Torah's term Aseres is synonymous with the term that we would use as the Yom Tov. Right? So in other words, the 1st day of Pesach is the Yom Tov, the last day of Pesach is the Yom Tov. They are Aseres in the sense that we are confined from doing malacha, and we don't have the freedom of interaction with the rest of the world that we would have on a weekday. In other words, we're supposed to be in our own davaramos, in our own little bubble, if you will. And that, he says, that's the pasuk. Aseres hi, komalecha savo de lo sasu. That's the pasuk which we just read. The 8th day of Sukkot, Shmini Aseres, is an Aseres. In other words, it's a cessation from doing malacha, a confinement, and the pasuk goes on to explain exactly what's meant by that. Komalecha savo de lo sasu. Right? You should not do any malacha. the chain kosuv atzeres moed haPesach. And we find the same thing when it describes the term atzeres, describing the seventh day of Pesach. The pasuk there in Devarim says, "Bayom Ashvi atzeres l'Hashem Elokecha." Don't fast the malacha. Right? The seventh day is an atzeres. Don't do any malacha. Be removed from these worldly pursuits, you know, and just focus inwardly on Hashem and His Torah and all of the other themes that are part of Yom Tov. So the atzeres means a cessation from doing work according to the Ibn Ezra. Okay. That's point number one. I'm going to mention a number of points which are not necessarily connected to one another, but you know they're all the Ibn Ezra's comments on Sukkot. So according to Ibn Ezra, why is that service used specifically for the last day of Pesach and the last day of Sukkot? Right. So the Ibn Ezra does not address that directly, but it's an excellent question. In other words, Vaseres just means don't do any malacha, right? So it's a term that should apply equally to the first days of Pesach and Sukkot as much as it does to the last days. I'm sorry? Right, it would apply to those days. Perhaps the idea is, according to the Ibn Ezra, this is just a suggestion, but perhaps the idea is that the term is Vaseres is used when we've just been through a period of time which we thought was a relaxation of the rules, and now all of a sudden Yom Tov comes back with its full force. And the common denominator of the last day of Pesach and Shmini Atzeres is that they come after a Chol HaMoed period where we started off, the beginning of the Yom Tov was very strong in terms of its prohibition, and then there was a certain laxity that went into effect with Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is not as stringent as the first days of Yom Tov. So it's a little bit surprising on one level that instead of continuously becoming more and more lax, we all of a sudden become stringent. We have to stop that laxity which we have become accustomed to over the past couple of days, hence the term atzeres. Just because it's Pesach, and you've gotten into the habit that now that the first day of Pesach is over, you can do, you know, many more malachas than you were allowed to do on the first day. No, stop, atzur. Right, like we were saying in modern day Hebrew, atzur, stop. You know, you have to get back into that Yom Tov mode, you know, notwithstanding the fact that you've been somewhat lenient over the past couple of days. Maybe that's why atzeres specifically but Shavuos is never called atzeres in the Torah. Shavuos is called atzeres by Chazal. But Chazal refers to Shavuos as atzeres exclusively, but in the Pesukim and Chumash, the two places atzeres is used is with regard to the seventh day Pesach and Shmini Atzeres. Right? So, again, from that perspective, stop the malacha you have become accustomed to doing over Chol HaMoed, now it's time to stop. The Sukkim go on, and then they say, in Perichov Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Tes, Ach, however, the Chamisha Asra Yom LaChodesh HaShvi Ba'asuchem Espuas HaOretz, on the 15th day of the 7th month, i.e. Tishrei, when you gather in the produce of the land, Hachogu is Chag Hashem Shivas Yomim. You should celebrate the holiday of Hashem for 7 days, i.e. celebrate the holiday of Sukkot. What's the meaning of the word Ach, however, that introduces this phrase? You would think that the phrase would be totally understandable without the word Ach. The Chamisha Asra Yom LaChodesh HaShvi Ba'asuchem Espuas HaOretz. What's the Ach? Comes to Ibn Ezra with the following insight. Says the Ibn Ezra, Sukkot is introduced by the Torah on the heels of the Torah talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is characterized by fasting. We might have thought that Sukkot would be characterized by fasting as well. So therefore comes the Torah, Ach, however, in contradistinction to Yom Kippur, which we spoke about before, Sukkot is not a time for fasting. Tachogu es Chag Hashem Shabbat Yomim. You should celebrate this holiday for 7 days. And it goes on to say in the next pasuk, Usmachtem L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim, you should rejoice before Hashem for 7 days. Ah, however, it is not like the holiday we spoke about previously, the holiday of Yom Kippur. Now, this is a very interesting Ibn Ezra, because less for its maskama, less for what it tells us that we're supposed to do, because again, you know, we all know that you're not supposed to fast on Sukkot. I mean, I hope we all know that you're not supposed to fast on Sukkot, right? But what was very interesting about in the Ibn Ezra is the Havam, you know, right? That which I would have thought were it not for the word Ach in the Pasuk. Ibn Ezra is saying, I would have thought, were it not for this word Ach, that just like I fast on Yom Kippur, I would fast on Sukkot as well. Why would I think that? What would be my perspective to think that one would fast on Sukkot? The truth is, I think here the Ibn Ezra is hinting. What's that? Right, there's no place to eat. Right, in other words, the Sukkot is too crowded, so I end up fasting on Sukkot. It could be that he means that, but I'd like to suggest another shot, right? We know that Sukkot actually does double duty in a sense. Sukkot is one of the Shlosh Regalim, but Sukkot is also the tail end of the period of the Yomim Noroim. Right, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot is a trilogy of holidays that mark the month of Tishrei and mark that special character that the month of Tishrei has, where we try to come closer to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not inconceivable that if Sukkot is the build-up after we've gone through Yom Kippur, again, in an alternative universe, right? You have to cleanse your mind of all the things that we're used to. But in an alternative universe, you could imagine the Torah saying, you know, Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. Yom Kippur is the day on which we fast in order to achieve atonement. And then there's a 7-day holiday, or a 7-day period, in which we come even closer to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's characterized by even more fasting. Obviously, we wouldn't fast for 7 days, but maybe we would fast for 7 days and eat at night, or something like that, or we would restrict ourselves during those 7 days in some way or another. If Sukkot is really part of the Yavim Noraim trilogy, in a sense, you know, Sukkot should not be characterized by tremendous joy and happiness. You would think it would be a very somber holiday like Yom Kippur. Comes the Torah and tells us, however, contrast between Yom Kippur that came before and Sukkot that comes now, Sukkot is a holiday not so much of austere solemnity. Sukkot is a holiday of joy and making merry. Now, if we take this idea from the Ibn Ezra, we should build on it a little bit. We can suggest the following. Again, this is not the Ibn Ezra. If you don't like what I'm about to say now, you get your money back at the end of this year. However much money you put down at the beginning of this year, I'll give you back at the end of this year. But perhaps based on this insight from the Ibn Ezra, we can suggest the following. There's something very funny about the Sukkim that describes Sukkim at the end of Parshas Emor. In Perkov Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Torah first introduces the concept that there's a 7-day holiday starting on the 15th of Tishrei. There's a holiday, it's called Sukkot, the first day of the holiday, the seventh day of the holiday. And then after introducing the holiday of Sukkot, the Torah sums up all of the holidays, all of the Yom Tovim. Right? These are the holidays of Hashem. You should declare them to be festivals. Sounds like we're done. We go, right? We just described all the Yom Tovim. But then comes the Pasuk in Lamed Tes. However, on the 15th day of Tishrei, so you should have a holiday, and then the Torah introduces the mitzvah of David Minim. And then the Torah introduces the mitzvah of Sukkah. And after introducing these holidays, so the Torah says, by Gather Moshe's mother Hashem of Bnei Yisrael, Moshe conveyed the lords of all these holidays to the Jewish people. So again, if I didn't know better, I would think it almost sounds like the Torah is saying, oh, P.S., I forgot to mention something. By the way, there are these other two laws of David Minim and Sukkah, which I didn't mention before. How come the Torah first summarizes, you know, these are all of the holidays, and says, however, by the way, there are dinim of the Yom Tov of Sukkot, which I forgot to mention before. If we understand, based on this idea, that Sukkot is really two holidays in one, it's both the end of the Yomim Noroi, but also one of the Shlosh Regalim. So then I think we can understand why the Torah divides its discussion of Sukkot into two sections. First, the Torah introduces Sukkot as the end of the Yomim Noroi. It doesn't say anything about joy on Sukkot. It presents Sukkot as a continuation of Yom Kippur. There's Yom Kippur, and then there's a holiday on the 15th that lasts for 7 days, and then an 8th day, and you're supposed to observe this holiday, right? And that holiday has some of the solemnity of Yom Kippur still attached to it. It's one of the Yomim Noroim. And with that, the Torah then takes a pause and says that these are the holidays of Klal Yisrael. But then it comes back. However, you should know that this holiday we just mentioned is not just a Yom Kippur extension. It's not just a solemn extension of the Yom Noroi. It's also one of the Shlosh Regalim. It's a holiday of great joy. And that's why the Torah at that point introduces the mitzvahs of Dalet Minim and Sukkah, which are all supposed to be associated with tremendous simcha, where it introduces the idea of Ushachim L'Pnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim, because now the Torah is introducing a second dimension of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Not just that it's part of the Yom Noroi, but it's part of the whole series of the Shlosh Regalim as well. That's built in, this duality is built in to the Sukkot themselves. Another point. The Pasuk then in Mem says, U'lekachtem lachem v'yom harishon, you should take on the first day of Sukkot. It goes on to mention the Dalet Minim. U'smachtem l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. And you should rejoice before Hashem for 7 days. Right to Ibn Ezra, Anachnu na'amin v'divrei ha-ma'atikim, ki lo yakhishu ha-kosu, ha-fal pishu matzono v'yikhu lohem ish selaveis avos, ha-fal pishu matzono v'yikhu lohem ish selaveis avos. That's Ibn Ezra's promise. Again, we have to unpack his rather first language. If you just read the pasuk without Chazal, U'lekachtem lachem v'yom harishon, you would think that the words U'lekachtem lachem are not the mitzvah itself. You should take for yourselves the Dalet Minim. You would think that that's not the mitzvah. In other words, you would think that the mitzvah is do something with the Dalet Minim, and the expression U'lekachtem lachem is just, so to speak, a hechsher mitzvah. In other words, it's telling you, you have to procure the Dalet Minim in order to do whatever the mitzvah is with them. Moshe Lamadov Adomet, look at him, he compares, says to Ibn Ezra, look in the psukim that describe how Klal Yisrael took the Korban Pesach. The Yikhu Lahem Ish Selaveis Avos Selaboyis. Right? They should all take a lamb for each household. Is there a mitzvah to take the lamb? Not per se. The mitzvah is to eat from the Korban Pesach. Right? Now, let's say I eat a kezayis from the Korban Pesach, but I didn't physically take the lamb. Somebody else took the lamb. So it's not like I missed out on a mitzvah. The Yichulayim is celebrated by the voice. It's just saying, practically, if you want to have this Korban Pesach, you have to go take it. So I would think that the mitzvah of Dalet Minim as well is to do something with the Dalet Minim. And U'lekachtem lachem v'yom harishon kriyei todah just means, make sure you get a set of Dalet Minim so that you can do whatever the mitzvah is to do it then. Says the Ibn Ezra, that would be the simple shot in the pasuk, but clearly according to Chazal, that's not the case. Chazal saying the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah, Midavah Nafik Day. From the time that you even just pick up the Dalet Minim, you did the mitzvah, and you're done. Right? You don't have to do anything else. Right? That's why we're so mastered, you don't pick up the lulav and esrog and hold them thoroughly before we make the bracha. You hold the esrog upside down, you don't pick up the esrog at all, again, different hanhagas as to what we do exactly, but the Gemara says we die, bon nafik bay, the minute you pick up the Dalet Minim, you're done with the mitzvah. It was happening with them, literally, if you should take, that's the only mitzvah, according to the din d'oraisa, you don't have to do anything with it. And says that Ibn Ezra, we accept, Chazal tell us that that's the case, we accept that, no questions, everything is good. So, although of course we agree with Ibn Ezra that Chazal said we don't go nothing thing, the Ibn Ezra is pointing out something interesting on the level of pshat, which I think does have implications for halacha l'maisa as well. The Ibn Ezra is pointing out that the pshat of the pasuk is that it would not be sufficient to simply pick up the Dalet Minim and that would be it, but that there's something else that has to be done with the Dalet Minim in order to really fulfill the mitzvah. This would seem to point to the idea of na'anuim, of shaking the lulav and esrog. We know certainly the Gemara indicates that the proper, the full way to do the mitzvah is to do na'anuim, not just to pick up the lulav and esrog, but to shake it. Take it one step further. The Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out in the Rambam that the Rambam seems to hold that the full mitzvah of Dalet Minim is not just to pick it up, not just to shake it, but to say Hallel with the Dalet Minim. In other words, until you say Hallel, you haven't really done the mitzvah in the fullest sense. The common denominator of both of these perspectives is that, although it may be true in halachic terms, that merely picking up the Dalet Minim fulfills the mitzvah on the most basic of levels, we do acknowledge that there is some, there's an aspect of the mitzvah b'shleimusa, the fullest degree of fulfilling the mitzvah, which goes beyond simply picking up the lulav and esrog. Right? In fact, you know, we know the Mishnah tells us in Sukkot that the special people in Yerushalayim used to walk around the whole day holding the lulav and esrog. Where did they get that idea from? Right? You got grown up with it. From the time that you pick it up, that's sufficient. Where do you see that there should be an idea of doing anything with the Dalet Minim other than just simply picking it up? Perhaps according to the Ibn Ezra, we can answer, well, that's the simple pshat of the Pasuk. Here, the pshat in the Pasuk is really hinting at a halacha, that ulkachtim lachem in chumash generally means take for some other purpose, as a hechsher mitzvah, as a means to an end. That's true with Dalet Minim as well. And with Dalet Minim, although the mitzvah on the most basic level is achieved by simply picking them up, the mitzvah b'shleimusa is only fulfilled when a person does something with the Dalet Minim. Na'anuim, Hallel, carrying them around, you know, this all part of the mitzvah b'shleimusa. And Ibn Ezra, in the end of that discussion, has the following interesting line. He says, Hagole me'eretz kedo le'eretz edom in yeshlo einayim yeda sod ha'mitzvah hazos. If a person finds himself in exile from the land of Kedar, somewhere in the Middle East, somewhere in Arabia, to the land of Edom, to the land of the Edomites, by which he means Christian Europe, if you find yourself in Galus from the Middle East to Eastern to Europe, then Yeshua Inayim, if he has eyes, Yehdasod HaMitzvah Hazos, he'll understand the secret behind this mitzvah. I think that's a pretty obvious line, so we'll just go on. What does he mean by that? If a person finds himself in exile from the Middle Eastern countries to Christian Europe, if he has eyes, he'll be able to figure out what this mitzvah of Dalet Minim is all about. So first of all, it would appear that the Ibn Ezra is saying something somewhat autobiographical, because we know that the Ibn Ezra himself wandered, although he was Spanish, he wandered tremendously, right? So there are all kinds of indications that he wandered to different countries. So he seems to be saying about himself, I wandered to various different countries in Christian Europe, so I was able to understand this mitzvah better. But what's he saying? One of the biurim in the new Ozra Hadar Chumashim that came out offers up the following interpretation of the Ibn Ezra, and again, it certainly has a ring of truth to it. The Dalet Minim, as we know from Jewish history in Eastern Europe, are plants that grow around the Mediterranean. They're not really plants that grow in much of Christian Europe, right? As we know, the Jews in Eastern Europe halished to be able to get an esrog, a lulav around this time of year. These are Middle Eastern plants to a very large extent. So by taking these Dalet Minim, and we remind ourselves, says the Ibn Ezra, of the unique climate of Eretz Yisrael, and we connect ourselves to Eretz Yisrael. And when a person leaves the environs of Eretz Yisrael and goes to a place where these plants don't grow, and he feels their absence, he will realize what the Torah, rather, was looking to instill in us by giving us this very precious mitzvah of the Dalet Minim. That's what we're supposed to think about when we take the Dalet Minim on Sukkot, to remind ourselves of the bounty of Eretz Yisrael and the very special fruits and trees and the like that are associated with it. Okay? Another Akasha Omer Rafa, who was Zachos S.